Hello, my name's Philip, and I want to welcome you to this 633 podcast. I hope you will enjoy it, I hope you'll be blessed by it, and you'll be encouraged in your walk with Jesus. I want to share with you today about Stephen's story in the Acts of the Apostles, largely in chapter 7, because I think it's an interesting story at the time that we're living in at the moment, and has some things to teach us. It starts just before chapter 7, at the end of chapter 6, where Stephen is grabbed by his opposers, the synagogue of the freedmen. And they argue and find that actually they can't win the argument. This is what they said about him. Verse 11 of chapter 6 of Acts. They secretly persuaded some men to say, "We've heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." Isn't that interesting? We've heard. This has been said. It kind of sounds very, very modern. We've heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. They, these opposers, resorted to lies and to invention to get at Stephen because they couldn't stand up to the wisdom that the Holy Spirit had given him. Now, as we move on into chapter 7, Stephen begins his defense, as it's often called. I'm not sure actually he was defending himself at all, but he was speaking into a situation and to a group of people who had seriously missed the point of what God was doing. Stephen starts to speak at the beginning of chapter 7, and he says, "Brothers and fathers," he's appealing to them. He's appealing to these people who are his brothers as Jews and his fathers as Jewish religious leaders. He says, "Listen to me." And he starts to talk to them about Abraham. He goes right the way back. And so often when I've read this over years, to be honest, I've read it and have thought, why does Stephen go on for so long telling this story in such detail? But clearly there was a point to it. He starts with Abraham. Stephen begins with a man who started the nation of Israel. He starts with him and his personal encounter with God. See, he says, God sent him to the land. God spoke to him and said, "Leave your country and your people, go to the land I will show you." He makes it clear that the Jewish nation had its origins in a word from God, in God speaking into a person's present. He goes on, he talks then about Isaac and Jacob, he talks about Joseph, he talks about these key patriarchs of the Jewish nation. And then he comes to Moses, born a baby, cared for by his family for 3 months, put out into the river, picked up by Pharaoh's daughter, educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, the Bible tells us, was powerful in speech and action, and then horribly got some things wrong. But he emerged nevertheless, flawed as he was, as the great saviour of the nation. And Stephen goes through this story of Moses' failure, flight, and again, encounter with God. He saw the bush. He went over to get a closer look, and he heard God speak. "I am the God of your fathers," verse 32, "the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Moses trembled with fear and didn't dare to look. And God speaks to him again and commissions him to go to Egypt and set his people free. This great saviour of their nation, Stephen, highlights his story with all of his flaws. And then, of course, there's the Exodus, and God brought Israel out of Egypt through Moses' endeavours. Moses, of course, led the people of Israel through the wilderness, performed miracles for them. Manna was brought and quail, and all this happened in over these 40 years. And this Moses, Stephen says, told the Israelites, God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your own people. And when we read in the original, he says to the people, listen to him. You've got to listen to him. But the people of Israel actually rejected Moses in so many ways. They refused to listen when he was up the mountain. They didn't want to listen to God themselves. They made the calf. And so God rejected Israel, we're told in verse 42. God turned away from them. And yet, when Moses interceded, God provided them with the tabernacle and all of its meaning, all of its rich implications. Stephen goes on from the time where they received the law at Sinai and got the tabernacle, moves on to David, a man who enjoyed God's favor, Stephen says, wanted to build a place for God to dwell, but actually his son Solomon did that, built the temple. But then he goes on and says, but God is bigger than temples, bigger than human temples. He says these words, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? What has Stephen done in this story that he's told? He's talked about their great heroes, Abraham, the other patriarchs, Moses, David, and their encounters with the living God and how he moved them from where they were to where he wanted them to be. But as Stephen draws to a conclusion, he says this, verse 51, you stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised, even though Abraham gave you circumcision. You're just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one, and now you've betrayed and murdered him. He's saying to them, look, this is all of your history here. This is our history, brothers and fathers. This is what God has done amongst us over centuries. But you're just like those old people with Moses in the wilderness. You're resisting the Holy Spirit. You're persecuting those who come with prophetic voices with a word from God. You're killing those who prophesy about Messiah, including, of course, John the Baptist. Ultimately, you've killed the Messiah himself. What is Stephen trying to do here? Well, clearly he's demonstrating that he knows his history and that the likelihood of him blaspheming against it is very, very remote. He respects his history. But he is saying this, and this is a key message for us, I believe. The past is not enough. The way it was is not enough. God is always leading his people. The present is here now. We live in a present. We're in a moment. And here we are, ourselves in the Church of Jesus Christ, in this moment during this coronavirus pandemic. And we're in a moment, but God wants to move us forward. And I know many other people are feeling that things cannot return to the way they were. Things should not just simply return to the way they were. So what is God saying to us? What is God saying? Where are the prophetic voices? And my plea is that we're listening to God at this time, listening to what he has to say, trying to hear his voice as he says, I want you to leave the past. I want you to leave where you have been in your experience with me and move into what I want to show you. That's personally. I believe it's also corporately as churches. Where does God want our church to move to? Where does God want your church to move to? What does he want to do next? Because God leads people. That demands movement. That demands progress. That expects us to be moving on into something fresh. Now the key principles always will remain the same. It says that Jesus came to fulfill the law. And so what Stephen has recounted to these Jewish leaders and his brothers and his fathers, what he's recounted there, he's not saying it's over and it's done with. No, the foundations were in encounter with God. Abraham moved
from where he was in Haran to where he was to be in Canaan because of a word from God. Moses moved out of the desert with his sheep back into Egypt because of a word from God. Moses took the people of Israel out of Egypt across the Red Sea into the wilderness because of a word from God. And now Jesus has come because of a word from God. Where are we going to go on the basis of a word from God? What will you do with the fact that the present is here now and the past is no longer enough? Valuable though it is, respectful though we must be about it, drawing from it all that we can. But what is God saying now? What is God saying today prophetically? I believe he's saying this. Will you move into the future with me? Or will you revere your history more? As churches, if all we do is revert someday or other to the way we were doing it before and nothing has changed, lives are untouched, structures are untouched, a new generation is not released, a church is more united and demonstrating the kingdom of God more than it has ever done before, then we will have missed a greater deal of what God is saying to us at this time. It's been said by some, the church has left the building because, of course, our church buildings are closed. What will it take for us to discover what it means going forward for the church not simply to return to its building, but to discover the mission of God right there with the people that most desperately need him, need their own encounter with him? Friends, will we move when God says move? Will we listen for that prophetic voice that calls us out and calls us on into his purposes for us? Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for all of our history. Thank you for those of us who've known you for many, many years. Thank you for all that you've done and all that you have shown us. But may we all believe that you're still showing us new things today. You draw out new things from your storehouse to reveal to us. Lord, may we be open to what you're saying. May we be listening to your voice, and may we move when you say move. May we, Lord, be obedient to your voice to do all that you've called us to do in this very changed situation in which we find ourselves in your church. May we be a church on the move, leading people out of slavery and into freedom, out of darkness and into light, out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son you love. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for listening to the 633 podcast. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I hope it's encouraged you and helped you. If you've listened through the website or on Facebook, you can always leave a post and say what's helped you and how it's encouraged you. God bless you. Until next time.